Am I showing up on there, bro? We're good? All right, go ahead and run her. Let's get it going. All right, I need some volunteer girls. Rusty, could you hand those out to some volunteers, please? There, we got a volunteer back there. We got one here. Sister Pauline, while we're handing those out, you had a question, not a volunteering? Okay. Yeah, give one to Charles. No. Hebrew. No. Hebrew. What was the? Was it Arabic? Aramaic. Yeah. Hebrew. Aramaic. That's what it is. The Coptic got the same thing as Syrian. But, Hebrew. Aramaic, Greek, Syrian, Latin, German, English. Seven languages. And the big thing with all that to remember is the Greek language has approximately 30,000 words. The English language has approximately 500,000 words. What's a more precise language? See? So God's purifying His Word. It didn't mean it wasn't true, but it's made more pure when it's put in English because it can be more precise. Somebody said, well, what about those these and thous and all that? Don't you understand that those words are more precise? Because you're telling whether it's a singular, plural, and all that. You know that. We would say, hey, I'm talking to you. When I say you, am I talking to an individual or am I talking to a group of people? It could be either, the way they use English today. But, right. But if I say you, that would be, or if I say ye, or if I say thou, see, or if I say thee. And so you know, by those and by the context, you know if he's talking about singular or plural. Give him an example. All right, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Who's ye? Ye is more than one. What does that mean? Adam was there. Adam was there when that was going on. You see the light you get from that? Where if he had said, you, could have just been talking about one. And you can find a bunch of examples of that. So the King James Bible is the most precise Bible on the face of the earth. Bar none. Amen. Bar none. Amen. Amen. Good preaching, brother. Thank you, brother. I know. Good. All right. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, many of those I've given out only have New Testament. But if you have Old Testament, find Isaiah 14. I think there might be one or two that have Old Testament in them of those new perversions. I call them perversions because, there's a reason I do that. The reason I do that is because they're perversions. All right, Isaiah 14 in the King James Bible, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? All right? Only place in the Bible that he's called Lucifer. To this day, if you say Lucifer, people know who you're talking about. Nobody names their child Lucifer. Right? Why? They know what Lucifer is. You say, well, we're trying to make it more up to date. Isaiah 14, 12. Everybody knows what Lucifer is, buddy. Ain't no problem there at all. So what are they trying to do? Somebody's trying to cover their tracks. All right, who's got one? Brother Henry, read verse 12, please. Oh, morning star. Anybody else have one that has the... All right, go ahead, Tony. All right. Yeah, star of the morning or morning star. All right, look over in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Listen, if this doesn't make you mad, you're not right with God. Period. You can see somebody mess with God's word like this and mess with my Savior like this and it not upsets you. You watch too much television or done too many drugs or something, but you ain't right. Amen. Revelation 22, look in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Who's the morning star? The Lord Jesus Christ. So according to the NIV, and what do you got back there, Tony? Oh, that's the New American Standard. According to the NIV and the New American Standard, Jesus Christ is fallen from heaven. Jesus Christ is the devil. If you believe the NIV. Or if you believe the New American Standard. I don't believe that. I believe King James Bible. Mess with my Savior like that. I don't appreciate it a bit. I don't think God does either. I have a feeling. First John, as a matter of fact, I have a feeling that the thing that's in me that bothers me is God's Holy Spirit. I don't think that's my flesh that's bothering. I think it's God's Holy Spirit that don't appreciate that. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. We're just going to look at a few of these. On the other side of your outline tonight, I gave you a list with a bunch more on there. And even that's just a tease. Because, let's face it, there's over 10,000 verses they mess with. These are just some of them that, you know, do some more what we would consider serious doctrinal damage. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Y'all got it? 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's the greatest verse in the Bible on the Trinity, right there. It just told you the Father, the Word, capital W, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are one. They're one God. You can't get around it. That's a testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ, to the deity of the Holy Ghost. And the fact that the Father is three and one, the whole thing is all right there. You can't miss it. Now, so what do you do? Charles, if you could read verse 7 for me, please.
So we have these three witnesses. Some very late manuscripts.
All right, wait a minute. Now, I asked you to read verse 7. You're reading me the first part in verse 8. Well, read me verse 8 in there, then. No, wait. Read me verse 8. Wait a minute. What about the first part of verse 8?
They don't have it, brother.
No, they do. They have it in verse 7. They have it in verse 7. What they did is they took verse 7 out. Then they took the first part of verse 8 and told you that was verse 7. Why? So that you wouldn't realize that verse 7 was out. Is that the way Christians should handle the Word of God?
No.
That would be called handling deceitfully the Word of God, wouldn't it? All right, Doyle, give us good news for modern monkeys. Well, wait a minute. No, that's verse 8.
Can't be
You see what they've done? They've just taken a part of another verse and moved it in so nobody would know that verse was out. What if they just had it verse 6 and then verse 8? You'd know. Oh, wait a minute. Why didn't they just make verse 8 verse 7 and just start keep the numbering going from there? Well, they got to copy the numbers from the King James Bible. Why? So you'll think it's a Bible. If they don't make it at least look close to a King James Bible, you're not going to think it's a Bible. Because you know what a real Bible is, don't you? Everybody does. They know what the real deal is. That's just a bunch of lying going on back there with the devil with that stuff. You know. Anybody, any honest person knows, when you talk about the Bible, they know what it is. They know it's King James Bible. They know it. Holy Spirit, manifest that. Make that plain to you. He's doing it right now, isn't he? All right. Brother Henry. That's part of verse 8, the three that bear witness. They just... Now you see what they've done? Tony, go ahead.
Verse
7? Yes. No, that's the end of verse 6. Verse 7. You see what they've done there? Yeah, they just stretched out half of verse 6. They're different. But they're all doing the same thing. And they're all in collusion on it. They sure do have a problem with verse 7. Why would someone have a problem with that verse? Now, you see what's going on with these new Bibles? Something's going on. Somebody's in the revision committee other than the people that are there, and it's not God's Holy Spirit. You think the Holy Spirit is the one that told them to take that verse out? Yeah, amen. Look at chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Alright. How do you know the Spirit's of God? The Spirit will confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Right? And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. So, this spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, which is not of God, is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you know what spirit is behind these new Bibles? It's the spirit of Antichrist. Brother, read me that verses 2 and 3 in whatever you got there. What is that? The Holman? Okay. Yeah. Has come? Mm-hmm. Keep going. Wait a minute. Does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They took that part out. Why? Can you imagine messing with those verses that say if you mess with those verses, you've got the spirit of Antichrist? Yeah. Not God's words. See how it's done? And usually capital W. When they say God's word, or when they talk about the word, and they'll use a capital W. And when you talk about the Bible, it's not capital W. It's a small W. You see how pious they are? That capital W is who? Jesus Christ. Well, we think just as highly as the word as we do the word. No, they don't. See, they can't be honest. So when they talk about the word of the Bible, they'll capitalize it. Well, it's not supposed to be capitalized. All right. Just give you an idea of what spirit is behind that stuff. Look in Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11. Amen. Yeah, and Muhammad. No. That's what we're doing for the rest of the night, bro. We're not going anywhere. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8. Revelation 11 and verse 8. And there's you got Moses and Elijah, and they're going to be killed by the Antichrist in the tribulation. Look here in verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Right? Now, the spirit behind these new Bibles can't say that. Brother Doyle.
And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city where their Lord was nailed to the cross.
Their Lord? I thought the Bible said our Lord. Well, whoever's writing that can't say that Jesus Christ is their Lord. Henry?
Okay, their bodies lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their word...
Their Lord.
Where their Lord was crucified.
See? It's Moses. It's Elijah's Lord. It's Moses' Lord. It's not the ones writing it, Lord. So they can't say our Lord. When our Bible says it, it says our Lord. Amen. Go, brother. None of them can do it. Not one of them can say that Jesus Christ is their Lord. Tony. Who else has one? Nick, do you have one? All right, Charles?
Their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city which is called Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was crucified.
Not one of them can say our Lord when talking about Jesus Christ. Now, I'll show you something. I'm just trying to get you to see who's behind these new versions. Exactly. And the one that's leading them to won't either. No man can confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. All right, look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 verses here on Christ's deity. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, that's the greatest verse in the Bible on the deity of Jesus Christ himself, proving that Jesus Christ was God. It doesn't get any better than that. When you say that God was manifest in the flesh, that lets you know that Jesus Christ was God. And no doubt about it. Amen? All right, Doyle?
We are looking at 1 Timothy 3:16.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No one can deny how great is the secret of our religion. He appeared in human form.
Who appeared in human form?
He.
He? What does that mean? It means nothing. All right, Henry?
Yeah, I'll ask the question, the mystery of godliness is great. Here in a body.
Who did?
He.
He. Wow. That's a great mystery. That's a wonderful mystery that's been revealed, that he appeared in a body. And you didn't even know Jesus appeared in a body, did you?
The mystery of ambiguity.
Yeah, that's it, brother. Go ahead. Uh-huh. All right. Tony?
And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh.
Hey. Charles?
Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ
Wow. What does that mean? Who didn't know that? Who didn't know that Jesus Christ showed up in the flesh? What does that mean? Well, you see, if you say God, that's kind of a hard word to understand. That's what they're doing. They're making the Bible easier to understand, aren't they? So God's too hard to understand, you got to take it out? Somebody's wicked as hell. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. John chapter 3, I don't know why. Why do I have to think of a nice way to say it? They are, they're jerks, brother, thank you. John chapter 3, don't need to be nice to them. No sense being nice to the devil. Or his children. John chapter 3, verse 13. John 3:13, great verse on the deity of Christ. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What's Jesus saying there? Jesus Christ is saying, nobody's gone to heaven but me. I came from heaven, and right now while I'm talking to you, I'm in heaven. See? All right, Brother Doyle. Now, y'all try not to laugh too loud so everybody can hear these guys.
And,
Brother Doyle.
And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven.
How about even the Son of Man which is in heaven? Now, that part's out. That's the part that shows you that while he's on the earth, he's in heaven at the same time, proving he's God. Henry?
Same thing.
Which is in heaven is out. You see that? It's out in all of them. It's out in yours, brother? In the Holman? The new Holman? The great?
The Word of God?
Yeah.
No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven.
Yeah. I got a letter from Adrian Rogers when I wrote him about this because he was one of the guys of promoting that thing. Yep. Yeah, it was after that he died. I ain't kidding. I'm going to get into that Sunday. We'll see. Tony?
And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man.
See? Which is in heaven is out. Charles? Sam?
For only God, the Son of Man, has come to earth and
will
return to heaven again.
Okay. Now, see, so what are they doing? They're just perverting the Bible. And they're attacking the deity of Jesus Christ. Just about every verse on the deity of Jesus Christ they mess with. Why is that? That's God's Holy Spirit, is it? That's Scripture, huh? Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We know he was God, and because he was God, he was virgin born. Amen? He was born of God. Y'all believe that, right? Every Christian believes that, right? Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 33. Luke 2:33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Luke 2:33. Does Good News mess with that one?
Just a little.
All right. Is the child who?
Father and mother.
Oh, so Joseph is Jesus' father. What does yours say, brother? Yeah, but they don't agree in other places. Neither did their witnesses agree. All right, go ahead, brother. Okay, let me say this before we go any further. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know what every single one of them are doing? Bearing false witness against God. Yeah. Right, sure. They'll learn the way out of all of it. Yeah, you know what? You know what I just say? Fine. We'll find out, me and you together, at the judgment. That's how I handle it. Yeah, God marveled at those things which were spoken of him. God marveled at the things that were spoken by himself. Yep, his father. Charles? Oh, really? Okay, good. Yeah. Which one do you have there? Okay. All right. Tony? Yep. Boom. See that? Attacking the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ had an earthly father, he didn't do nothing for us. And we're all deluded. Amen. I mean, that's just sick. I'd hate to have to give an account to the Lord for that. Look in verse 43. We'll give him another chance. Verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They get it that time? Yeah. It didn't take them long. Doyle?
When the days of the feast were over, they started back home, but the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. His parents did not know this.
Uh-huh. So Joseph is his parent. Joseph is his father. Henry, same thing?
As the feast was over, while his parents...
Okay. Yeah. Same thing? Charles?
His parents didn't miss the first.
Yeah. Tony?
His parents.
Parents? See that? King James Bible doesn't say that, does it? See how precise it is? It wouldn't dare say that.
Amen.
It says Joseph, not parents. Joseph and his mother. You can say that, you know why? Because she is his mother. But Joseph is not the father. And so the King James Bible is very careful on that. Very careful. No. Right. Yeah. Look over there in chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and let's face it, why would you get a 70% burger for the same price that you could get a T-bone. Right? You know what you're getting with that stuff? You're getting Bible light. See? Yeah. See? They've taken out, you know, a third less calories and, you know, a third less flavor. Whatever. I don't know. But that the idea is that's what they've done. They've just watered it down. They've taken so much of what God actually set out, replaced it with a bunch of man's words. Is there still enough of God's word in there to get somebody saved? Yeah, probably. But not for a Christian to grow. Why? What does Jesus say in verse 4 of Luke 4? Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." How much do you need? You need every word. Right? You need every word. You can't just have some of it. Doyle, could you read that same verse, please?
Jesus answered, "The scripture says, man cannot live by bread alone." That's where he
is. How about by every word of God? That's not in there? It's not in yours, Henry?
No.
It's not in yours either, brother? All right. Tony? Not in yours either. How about that? They must not think much about the Word of God. Well, that wasn't that already that was already evident, wasn't it? You know what you need? You need every Word of God. Well, why would they keep that out of those verses? Because they already know that you don't have every Word of God in those. See? Now, if Jesus said that, and he was attacking the devil by saying that, Then what have we been doing tonight? Doing the same thing, you see? Yeah, and he'll kick back. Verse 8, same thing. Verse 8, you got the same thing. But look at verse 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Let's hear it, brother.
Jesus answered, "The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him."
How about get thee behind me, Satan?
Yeah.
Brother, listen. If you were Satan and you were writing that, would you want to put that verse in? Henry? What about get thee behind me, Satan? It ain't yours either? It's left out? It's not in there, brother? These are all different, none of them. I'm trying to get you to understand and see plainly who's behind these new versions of the Bible. It's not God. This is where Jesus and the devil go to battle. The majority is always wrong. Colossians chapter 1. Just ask Noah. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians. The Colossians out of that one, brother? Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Before the T's. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Why, amen. That's how we're redeemed. You know, as much as you're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. That's what purchased us. That's what paid the price. That's our propitiation. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Thank God for that verse. That's a good verse. Brother Doyle, could you give me that verse, please, in some bad news for modern man? Where's the blood of Jesus? It's not in there? Henry? NIV? Where's his blood? They took the blood of Jesus Christ out of his own Bible. Same thing there, brother? Same out of there, Rex? Charles? All right. That's a little closer. Tony, you find Colossians? Look at chapter 1 and verse 14. That'll be next. You know, that's like over there with that, what was that one we were just looking at a couple of before I was thinking on that, where it says he instead of God. I think the next one that come out will say her. That'll be next. Yeah. Right. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Tony. They've left out the blood of Jesus Christ. 4 out of 5. Left it out. Attacking the blood. That's look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie." You know what they're doing? You know all these new versions are doing? They're changing the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Brother Doyle.
They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worship and serve what God has created instead of the Creator himself, who is betrayed.
All right, that one's not too bad, Henry. Now, you notice that exchanged? What did yours say? Exchanged? It's not about exchanging. It's about changing. Why can't they say changing? What's easier to understand, exchange or change? And why can't they just say they changed? Why is that? Because guess what they're doing? Right! See, it's self-condemning. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy against themselves. Go ahead, bro. Exchange. See? Right. All right. Charles?
Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to deny it. So they felt worship was only one key. Worship, half sense.
Really?
And they only got one key.
Okay.
They don't even know how to spell either.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah? Yeah? Right. Well, look up Savior in theirs, and you'll find every time it's S-A-V-I-O-R instead of S-A-V-I-O-U-R. Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Tony. What we got there, Tony? Exchanged. Yeah. Instead of change, you see. Exchange is, here, I'll take this, and you get, no, that's not what it's about. It's about changing the truth, not exchanging it.
Exchange is whether there's equal value.
Right. Right. And what they're doing, they're not exchanging the truth for a lie. They're changing the truth into a lie. That's exactly what they're doing. And so they cover their tracks. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, this, I think, for me personally, I like using this verse if I first begin to deal with somebody about the Bible version issue that claims to be saved. If this issue comes up and I'm talking to somebody, I'd say I would never use any of those other versions except for the King James Bible. Oh, well, I prefer the NIV. I said, well, I just wouldn't do that. You know, you want to get them to get to the point where they'll ask you why. And when they ask that, the answer that you give them is simply this: well, because I'm saved and I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm saved and I love the gospel too. That's obviously going to be the response. You say, well, that's why I don't use any of those new Bibles. If you love the gospel, you wouldn't want to use those, because they attack the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you take them right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what God chose to save people? He didn't choose Hollywood movies. You know, The King and Narnia, whatever else. The Passion, you know. He didn't choose Hollywood. He didn't choose sharing and caring. He chose preaching. See? He chose the preaching of the Bible. Right? That's what amen, brother. Windshield wiper Christians. He chose what? The foolishness of preaching. Well, what is it? Honestly, when you get up there and you're just shooting your mouth off, it's kind of foolish. The Bible says, you know, the fool is known by a multitude of words. Right? So it's a foolish thing. You're just getting up there and shooting your mouth off. That's a foolish thing. And so, but God chose that. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen? Doyle.
For God in His wisdom made it impossible for men to know Him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, God decided to save those who believe by means of the foolish message we preach.
The gospel's a foolish message. Good news for modern man. Well, it must be better in the New International Version. Let's hear what that has to say about our gospel. Go ahead, Bob. Kenny?
Since the wisdom of God to the world is wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe.
The foolishness of what was preached? The gospel. New International Version. What do you got, Rusty? You got an NIV too? All right, go ahead. The foolishness of the message preached. That's the Holman. Yeah. That's their new Bible that they're pushing. Yeah. The one that says that the gospel is foolishness. The fact that my Savior died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and they say it's foolishness. Charles?
He has used our foolish preaching.
All right, that's all right. That's okay. All right. Tony?
For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached.
There it is again. New American Standard. See? Now, honestly, how could somebody that said they loved Jesus Christ and was burdened for souls and believed the gospel would put up with that crap? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, I just don't think it's something we should make an issue of. I didn't make it the issue. A bunch of money-hungry mongrels made it the issue. I'm just kicking the dogs when they come in the camp. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, and the hit dog is the one that yelps. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. Well, here it is. For God is not the author, A-U-T-H-O-R, of all the new Bibles, of confusion. What are they causing? All right, say, we're going to have a Bible study, or we're going to have church, and we're going to have a service, and a bunch of people show up, and everybody's got a different version. What do you got? God is not the author. God is not the author of confusion. You got that. He's not the author of it. God did not author all them books. He's the author of the King James Bible. He's not the author of all this modern perversion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Amen. Brother Doyle, enlighten us, please. What about God not being the author of confusion? Well, that's out. I wonder why. Henry, NIV.
For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace.
What about being the author of confusion? That's, I guess it's okay to be that. Rusty. Charles. Tony. All right. But no author of confusion. Right. See? Author means what? Somebody that writes something? It puts it real plain, doesn't it? What you've been talking about, it's about people speaking and talking, communication. That's why it says author. All right, look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, what do you, honestly, an honest person, I believe you all are honest, so I'm going to ask you. What do you honestly think is the motive behind these people writing these new Bibles? Right. That's what it's all about. It's about making a buck. That's all it is. Honestly, if they came out with the NIV and that was supposed to be the one, you know, why come out with another one? And then another one, and then another one, and then another one. There is no end of it. See, there's no end of it. Mm-hmm. It's called cha-ching. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Here's the problem. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What's the problem? Well, they've erred from the faith. Why? Because of the love of money. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Brother Doyle.
Well, the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil.
A source, not the source. Does everybody understand the difference between the word the and a? A is called an indefinite article. The is called a definite article, meaning the one and only. See? When you say a root or a, you mean there's more than one. It's not quite as that. It's not quite as bad. There's other causes. When you say that the love of money is the root of all evil, that means it's the root. You go down, it's one root like a carrot, and it goes down, and it's one root, and that root is the love of money. See? Rusty.
This is a root of all kinds.
Henry.
This doesn't have money in it. What are you doing?
You said 6:10, right?
6, 1 Timothy.
I told you he had to say it. He couldn't get the right.
Charles?
The love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil.
Uh-huh. All kinds. Tony?
For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil.
Uh-huh. Henry?
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
A root?
Evil.
A root?
A root.
A
root of all kinds of evil.
Right. Not all evil. Just all kinds of evil. Now, see that? See how they water that down? I wonder why. I wonder why they would water down those verses. Oh, I wonder.
Yeah.
Amen. Look back in verse 5. I'll show you what's going on. In your King James Bible, look in verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. You know what the problem is? They're corrupt minds. Their minds are corrupted. They mess with the Bible and they think it's okay. Who would do that? Somebody with a corrupt mind. If your mind's already corrupt, then when you corrupt the Bible, it's no big deal. Because you can't even see that as being a problem. Why? Because your mind is corrupted. And destitute of the truth. They're not valiant for the truth. They're not earnestly contending for the faith. Destitute of the truth. Supposing that Joel Osteen is right. Supposing that godliness, gain is godliness from such withdrawal. Well, I mean, look at Joel Osteen, look at his big church, and look at all the people. He must be right. Because he's look at the gain, that must be the result of godliness. Who would think that way? Somebody with a corrupt mind would think that way. You see? Right. That's the problem. Read me that verse, brother. Good news. Uh-huh.
And constant arguments from men whose minds do not function and who no longer have the truth, they think religion is a way to become rich.
That's not what it said. The talking about here is that gain is godliness. They changed the whole thing around. They destroyed the meaning. Any kind of gain. Mostly physical, I would think. Yeah. Popularity, fame, fortune, power, whatever. Henry?
And consent frictions between men of corrupt minds who have
been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Seen that before.
Godliness is a means to financial gain. See? Right. Well, wait a minute, but that's not what the verse said. It said when their minds are corrupted, they'll think that gain is godliness. See? It's a warning against Joel Osteen. It's a warning against a purpose-driven life. It's a warning against all them characters that have come down the line. And that warning has been taken out in all the Bibles. See? All right, look over in verse 20. Here's another warning. And this one definitely needs to be a warning. Why would you take out the warnings in the Bible to help Christians? Yeah, the idea is, you know, you can't buy anything these days that doesn't have a warning label on it. Right? I mean, because they're, why? They don't want to get sued. Yeah. Well, listen, God's put warnings for us. If somebody was to take those warnings away, they're liable. I think we got a lot of young people in our church that would just love something to do for the Lord. Listen, you're gonna have young people; they're gonna get in trouble unless you give them something constructive to do. Honestly, we want to do some good things for our young people. Think of some things like that for our young people. Yeah, listen, what do you do when you were young? It's part of your nature. You can't help it. Use it for the Lord. Let them have a good time serving God. As I say, he had these bumper stickers, and it was, I'm trying to remember the, it was something against the foolishness of evolution. Some kind of bumper sticker. It said something showing that evolution is, environmentalism. That our environmentalism was a joke, something like that. Anyway, they came out and, he looks at this car, him and his son, as they come out of some restaurant. Or no, they're going into the restaurant from the car, and they see this car that's got all that Greenpeace and all them signs on it. And his dad looks at his son was like 16 at the time, something like that. He said, boy, I wish I had some of those bumper stickers. It'd be good to put one of those on one of his cars, wouldn't it, right over one of the other bumper stickers? And then he went in the restaurant, and his son's there, and he said, Dad, could I have the keys? Sure, son! Instead of, he knew exactly what he was going to do. I like what he said after that. He said, well, what would you do? I mean, if he got in trouble or something. I said, nope, no, there wouldn't be a problem. He said, but what, when they come to you and they say, is this your son? He'd say, no. Yeah. Look at verse 20. I'm looking forward to Brother Sam being here. Verse 20, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. We're almost done. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. All right? Is there a warning against science in the Bible? No. There's a warning against science that's falsely so called. Evolution and all the rest of that trash and global warming and all the rest of it, that's junk science. It's not real science. It's they already know what they want to believe, and now they're going to find some stuff to fit what they believe. That's called religion. See? That's like any cult. Real science is, I have a theory, I'm going to take all the facts that can be demonstrated in a laboratory every time to be the same, to prove whether this is so or not. That's science. There's nothing wrong with science. Science never disproves the Bible. What proves the Bible is science falsely so called. And that's the warning. The warning is against science falsely so called. Amen, Brother Doyle?
Timothy, keep safe what has been turned over to your care. Avoid the godless talk and foolish arguments of knowledge as some people have wrongly called it. For they...
Wait, that's it. That's done. You're done. Knowledge. Where's the warning against science? Well, y'all have to be aware of, you know, knowledge falsely so called. Y'all have been messed up with that, haven't you? Henry?
Timothy,
discard what has been entrusted in your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge.
Well, you see, what it is science is hard to understand. So they've made it easier for you to understand by calling it knowledge. Right? Now, let me ask you something. Which one's more up to date? This idea, we're making the Bible more up to date? What's the problem? What's messing people up? It's science falsely so-called. It's not knowledge. It's science falsely so-called. So which one's more up to date? It's King James Bible. You know what they all do? They mess up hell and call it Hades and all the rest of that stuff. You go anywhere and find out what people call it. The average American, you know what they call it? They don't call it Hades. Yeah, they call it hell. They know what it's called. Sure. Yeah, bud. Contradictions of knowledge, right. How about yours, bro? That one all right? Or?
No.
Oh. You're allergic to corruption, huh?
Yeah, oppose you with their so-called knowledge.
How would you?
How would you hold for a skinny guard with God as entrusted?
Oppose.
Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge.
Right. Tony? Yeah, exactly. See? And that's the thing about it. When you start taking that thing down, you'll find out that they have much more bigger words than the King James Bible. And they take 50 words to say what the King James Bible says in 20. That's what you have to do when you're a politician. You've got to beat around the bush. Yes, sir? Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can't have any Bible believers on there. They wouldn't want that. All right. Last one, 2 Timothy 2:15. What are we doing? We're having a Bible study. Amen? And what we're doing here is studying the Bible so that you can get the doctrines that you need. That's why I said when we start this thing off, we're starting it off on this issue. Because the idea in all of this is 2 Timothy 2:15. We were commanded by God to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen in it is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what I want you to do, and help you to do over the next 20 lessons or so, is help you to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. I believe it's truth. I believe it's the word of truth. I believe it needs to be rightly divided. And I believe that God commanded us to study His Word. That's why we're having these Bible studies. So that we can study the Word of God, so that we can show ourselves approved to Him, so that He'll be pleased with us. Amen? Now, we'll part with this. Tony, please read 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, what about studying? What about rightly dividing? You don't have to study the Bible, and you don't have to rightly divide the Bible, according to the New American Standard. Now, how about according to this Living Translation or whatever you got there, bro? Well, what about studying? What about rightly dividing it? No study and no rightly dividing. Rusty, how about the Holman? What about studying? No studying? No nothing. Henry? Do your best. How about studying? No studying? Do you understand what's that verse about? It's about the word of truth. It's about the Bible. And it's the only verse in your Bible that tells you you're supposed to study it. And they take it out. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, every student would love that verse, wouldn't they? take that word out. Yeah, no studying. Henry, no studying? No studying. No rightly dividing? Yeah. Doyle, no studying? No rightly dividing. All right. So you know what I think? If all those don't have it and the King James has it, you know what I think that means we should do? You know what I think the devil doesn't want us to do? And rightly divide. You know what I think God wants us to do? I think he promised to preserve his words. I think he did it. I have no doubt about it. And I think if we as we go on this study now, you know what it is we're studying and why. Right? All right. Now we're going to find out as we go through this thing, sound doctrine, and give that to you to grow in your Christian life, to help you grow in truth and the knowledge and your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen?
One of the maddest times Satan must have ever had is when Martin Luther actually read instead of just going through this thing, okay, we'll
sure. Yeah. And you know how that was demonstrated? Through all his people, the Roman Catholic priests and bishops. Yeah. All right. Any questions before we close? All right. Brother Mick, would you close us in prayer, please?